All right, let's take our Bible this morning. Go over to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. And we're going to preach this morning on a man that a lot of us know about. We're going to preach on Gideon this morning. And I want to preach having a thought on this, on having a hard time trusting. And sometimes, for whatever reason, it's hard for the child of God to trust the Lord. It just seems like that it's a little tough. And even though we know what God is capable of, and we know what He's able to do, it seems like that it is hard for us to trust. And let me say this morning that if you're lost and you're having a hard time putting your faith and your trust in the Lord, it's very simple just to come and ask Him to save you this morning. Amen? That is a very, very simple thing to do, to put your faith and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, I said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that of you, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so by putting faith and hope and trust in the Lord, you can be saved today. Judges chapter 6, while you stand to your feet this morning. Judges chapter 6, while you stand to your feet. I want to begin to read in verse 1, or actually verse 11, excuse me. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. We'll read a little bit, then we'll skip a little bit and pick up a little more there in this chapter. Now you pray for your preacher this morning. Need all the help of God that we can get. Amen. Need touch of God. Listen, I realize that I can do nothing in myself, and I want you to get something this morning. You may not be in the place where Gideon is or where Gideon was, but I'll guarantee you there's been a time or there will be a time that you're going to be there. Amen? And I just want to be a help to you. It's a help to me and that to study this. Judges chapter 6, look in verse 11. "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah and pertained unto Joash the Abizurite, and his son Gideon. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all these miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." I'm going to answer that question here in a minute. "And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? But my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die." And take your Bible and go to verse 33. Well, let me read that last verse there in verse 24. "And the Bible said, Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom unto this day. It is yet in Ophrah of the Abizurites." Now look in verse 33.
And so the Bible says, then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of East were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali. And they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Well, now that ain't exactly right. He's done proved him once with the fleece, hadn't he?
Amen.
He said, Lord, don't get mad. But he said, let's just do this one more time. And he said, let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece, let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, help us now for these things. In Jesus' name, we do ask and do pray. Amen. If you look back in the first part of this chapter in verses 1 through 10, you'll find out that Israel has sinned and that against God. And so God has took them over and put them into the hand of the Midianites. And so when they cried out to God, God would send them some judges along the way. But they cried out unto the Lord. And the Bible tells us in verse 8 that God sent them a prophet. And God sent them a prophet to remind them of what God had already done. He reminded them about how he brought them up out of the land of Egypt. He reminded them of all the good and great works that he had done before them. And reminded them of what the word of God had said. That they were not to serve nor to fear. And that the gods of the Midianites and the gods of that land. But God went on to tell them. And that by the man of God that they had not obeyed. And that's why they're in the shape that they're in. And so here when I said that I would deal with this about Gideon, God. I mean, Gideon's looking up to God and he's asking him the question, why are we in the shape that we're in? Hey, he should have known the man of God's done come and preached. He's already told them why they were in the shape that they were in. Now, I want you to look real quick this morning. When Gideon, here he is. Now, I want you to think about this in verse 11. Notice that Gideon is hiding. I want you to notice quick this morning that all the Midianites are after them and they're trying to destroy everything that Israel's got. As a matter of fact, they have planted all their seeds and the Bible said that all the increase that came up, said the Midianites come down and wasted the increase in that of the nation of Israel. Not only that, did they come in and waste the increase and destroy it, but they come in and destroyed all the sheep, all the oxen, every animal that they had, the Midianites come in and destroy it. Why? All because of disobedience. Hey, listen, if we want to disobey God, you know what God will begin to do? He'll begin and that to try to get your attention. Amen. And I believe this is what God and that was trying to do to the nation of Israel. I mean, hey, listen, they didn't have nothing to eat. They didn't have any animals that they could even kill and eat. Hey, the Bible said, I believe it was right here in one part, look in verse 6, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. Hey, can I tell you that God will put you on your back and take your money away from you and take your health away from you and he'll do whatever it takes and that to get your attention to serve him. Amen. And so here, ain't that right, church? Amen. He'll do whatever it takes. Say, preacher, don't scare me. Listen, it ain't me trying to scare you. It's me trying to tell you what the Word of God says and tell you the truth this morning. If you want to serve God, you can serve him. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But he sure will make you wish that you did. Amen. And that's what God does. And so here we find they've been in the hand of the Midianites, I believe, for 7 years. And the Midianites have begun to destroy everything that they've got. And so here God shows up. They've cried out, they've prayed, and wanted to get right and that with God. And the Bible said in verse 11, here Gideon is, he's down by the threshing floor, over there, or he's over there by the wine press, and that to thresh wheat. And the Bible said that he was hiding. And so here I always thought God had a sense of humor and that with Gideon. In verse 8 or in verse 13, verse 12, God shows up and appears to Gideon. You know what he calls him? He says, "Thou mighty man of valor." And here he is hiding. Well, I tell you, ain't God got a sense of humor sometimes? I think God's got a sense of humor sometimes in who he uses in church. Yeah. I think sometimes he's got a sense of humor in who he lets preach. Yeah. I think sometimes he's got a sense of humor in who he lets sing and do his work, because we would look at it and say, "Hey, I ain't fit. I ain't good for anything." That's a good place to be, amen, is to realize that. But God knew something about Gideon that Gideon didn't even know about himself. And so here he is. You ever been there? God show up and he'll say something like that. "Oh, thou mighty man of valor." He'll say, "Boy, ain't you doing it?" I imagine it like this sometimes. I've been weak in the faith. I've been wore out and beat down. And God just come by and he'll just brag on you for a little while. Now listen, God will do that from time to time just to help you. Do you know that? God will do that. "Hey, listen, I got done preaching Friday morning over to nursing home. Man, I thought it was horrible. Thought I'd done a horrible job. I was preaching on when David the giant killer needed some help. I got up there and stammered around, stuttered around. I finally just got done. I prayed. I put my guitar up. I put it in the office in there. And I got sat down in a chair, and the lady across from me, she said, 'You're exactly what this place needed. That's what they needed to hear this morning.' I thought, my, ain't God got a sense of humor sometimes? Here I was trying to hide and God was trying to brag. And he said, 'Thou mighty man of valor.'" God knew something about Gideon. Can I tell you something? God knows something about you this morning. And God knows what he wants to do with your life and what he wants to do with my life. God knows. He just wants us to trust him and believe him and go do it. I want to preach for just a little while on having a hard time trusting. Number one, I want us to look at the instruction of the Lord. You know what he said in verse 14? He said, go in this thy mind, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. God said, go and deliver Israel. He gave him specific instructions of what to do. God made no bones about what he wanted Gideon to do. Now, he didn't tell him exactly how to do it right yet. He didn't lay out the plan of how it was all going to work out. God just said, "I want you to go deliver the Israel out of the hand of the Midianites." Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I was thinking back when God called me to preach and I was just a young man. And I'll be honest with you. I didn't know. I was just barely saved, if you'd let me say that. And I was 15 years old. I didn't know nothing, man. Nothing. But I know what God was doing in my heart. Amen. And I know that God was dealing with me to preach. And that's all I knew. Right. Boy, I'm telling you, as one fellow said, I didn't know Job from Job. And Psalm from Psalm, I'm telling you, I didn't know a whole lot, but I know what God wanted me to do. Amen. And so, I committed under that thing, not knowing where it's going to lead. Sometimes we just ain't got better sense sometimes, do we, than just to follow God. Y'all catch on to that here in a minute, amen. Listen, sometimes, and then I'll be honest with you, sometimes we let our sense and that get in the way and we won't follow God. Well, you find that he gave him specific instructions. And he said, "I just want you to go and that deliver Israel out of the hand of the Midianites." Then look what he said. He said, "Have not I sent thee?" All right, God said, I want you to go. I'm sending you. I'm the one that's doing the sending. Not you, not your daddy, not your mother, but I am the one that's sending you. Hey, listen, thou mighty man of valor, get your stuff up, quit complaining about where you're at, the shape that you're in, and go and do something for me. Hey, listen, what's God asking you to do for Him today? I believe God's been trying to deal with some folk and that about some things here lately in this church. I don't know who you are, what God wants you to do, but boy, I've been preaching in this direction for quite a while. And not only that, it's been helping me. Hey, what's God wanting you to do? What's God wanting your family to do? Because I'm going to be honest with you, husband and wife, mom and daddy, whatever you do, it's going to affect your family. Amen. Whether you do it or don't do it, it's going to affect your family. Hey, listen, I believe He wants His church to do some things. And if you sit back and say, we can't do it, hey, listen, God is going to afflict us, amen, as the body of Christ. You say, we can't do it. Hey, I've known folk in church. They say, well, the church can't do that. Well, we can't do that. That ain't never been done before. That's where God really shines, is when He does things that He ain't never done before in a church, amen. Hey, listen. Listen, all He wanted Gideon to do was get ready to fight. He just wanted him to go. He wanted him to commit and to what He asked him to do. I want you to look at the first thing that Gideon done with the instruction of the Lord. Listen, he said, oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? He said, how can I do this? You know what he done? He said, he began to make excuses, didn't he? He said, behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. I can't do this. He said, look, my family's poor. What's poor got anything to do with going and delivering the nation of Israel out of the hand of the Midianites? Not a thing. What's it got to do with Gideon being the least in his family? Not a thing. Not a thing. And you know what God said in verse 16 when He made them excuses of serving God and doing what He wanted him to do? He said, surely, surely I will be with thee. So he made his excuses just like Moses did over there in the wilderness, in the desert. More God come by in that burning bush and He proved Himself to Moses, didn't He? Well, I mean, He had the burning bush to prove to him. He spoke and out of the burning bush. He threw down His rod and it turned into a serpent. Okay. He put His hand in His bosom and He drew it back out and it's leprous as snow. He put it back in His bosom and then drew it back out and it was pure flesh again. God had proved Himself to Moses. And so He even said, who do I tell them sent me? And He said, you tell them I am that I am has sent thee. And then Moses gets over there and he says, well, Lord, after God has proved Himself, after God's answered every question that Moses could have, he said, well, now, Lord, you know I'm not an eloquent speaker. He said, you know that I can't talk well. I don't have all these good words that I can use. Take your Bible and go to the book of Genesis. Go to the book of Genesis and let's look about Moses. Or Exodus, excuse me, I'm sorry. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. It may be in 4. We'll have to look and see here. But he gets to telling the Lord what he can't do. And boy, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes we get to go to Exodus 4. Sometimes we get to telling God what we can't do. Hey, listen, God ain't interested in what you can't do. God's interested in what you can do. God's interested in what you're willing to do. Amen? Hey, listen, He just wants you to be willing and that to follow Him. You know, first thing you got to do is get willing to be saved.
Amen.
Amen. You need to come get saved.
Amen.
And then you can follow Him.
Yeah.
But you can't follow Him until you get saved,
Amen.
Friend. You need to get saved this morning. But look in Exodus chapter 4 and quit making excuses about salvation. Amen. All right, look, verse 10, Exodus 4 and 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not an eloquent, I neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am of slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Again, God said, Moses, I'll be with you. Just go. I just want you to go. Trust me, and just go. Do what I tell you to do. And he said, O my Lord, sin I pray thee by the hand whom thou wouldst send. Well, Moses said, just send somebody else. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron thy Levite thy brother? Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. So God said, okay, if you're just bound and determined not to go, I'll let Aaron do the talking, and you can do the miracle working, and we'll get this thing done. But God was angry with Moses. Now, Gideon makes an excuse, and God just looks over that excuse. He don't even deal with that excuse. The Lord just said unto him, surely I will be with thee. I've told you, go and fight. I've sent you, and I will be with you. So here he is. He's made the excuse. And listen, I don't know what excuse you're making this morning, but you need to quit making them. And either come and get saved, come and follow God, do whatever he wants you to do, but quit making them. Luke chapter 14, you find over there that was some that was bid and that to a wedding, and I understand the whole doctrinal issue, I understand the spiritual issue on that and all those things, but the Bible said that when they were invited to come and then the supper was made, the Bible said that they all with one excuse, they all at one time began to make an excuse of why they couldn't come. And some said, listen, I bought a yoke of oxen. I got to go prove it. And one said, I bought some land and I got to go look at it. And another said, I married a wife and therefore I cannot come.
Amen.
Two fools in a fix and a henpecked husband.
Amen.
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 Wives, don't be a hindrance to your husband serving God. Men, don't be a hindrance to your wife in serving God.
Amen.
Hey, that can happen. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
That can happen. So they made an excuse. They said, we've got too much to do. It's not going to fit into my plan for my life. Hey, listen, God rarely is concerned about your plan for your life.
Right.
I just hate to tell you that. God really don't care about what you've got planned out in life. He's more concerned about his plan for your life. And so here Gideon is, and he's made an excuse. Now watch what he done right here. Watch what he done. He said, look, he said, if I found grace in your sight. And he said, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. He said, if you're real. Well, I've been there a time or two.
Yeah, come on.
Boy, if this thing's real, then I need you to do something for me. If what you're telling me is true, my wife told me this morning, she said, I don't hear them audible voices from God like you do. I said, I don't hear them either sometimes. Amen. Y'all talk about spiritual things in your house. Me and my wife do. That might be what's wrong with your house. Maybe you're not thinking nor talking about spiritual things. Amen. Oh, I mean, we talk about TV things. Don't misunderstand me. But we also talk about spiritual things in our home. You'll do that. You'll pray with your wife, men. Ladies, you'll pray with your husband. Pray with them youngins. We'll teach them how to pray. Let them learn how to pray from watching you pray. Amen. Don't know how we got tired, but ain't that good. Now listen, so he's making an excuse. And boy, he wants that angel to do something. But he's made that excuse. And listen, we'll make excuses of I've got too much to do, or I've got plenty of time to do it. You know what the Lord told them disciples over there? We told them about sowing and reaping. He said, there are yet 4 months. So, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white to harvest. Hey, now, do it now. He said, you don't have to plant the seed and wait for harvest time. It's now. Hey, listen, you know why you need to get saved now? You're running out of time. That's why I quit making excuses. Redeeming the time, Ephesians said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That's why we're to be witnessing, but that's why you're to get saved. It's because you're running out of time, friend. Running out of time. I want you to look. God answered, said, I'll surely be with you. And boy, here he goes. He said, I need a sign, Lord. I need to know that you're talking to me. God's already come to him and said, I've sent thee. He said, surely I'll be with you. Just go down and do it. Get in. And Gideon said, Lord, would you just give me one more sign? Just let me know one more time that this is what you want me to do. He said, wait right here. And I'm going to go fix you a present. And if you'll wait, then I'll know that it's been real. And I know it's true. That angel said, I'll stand right here and wait. Gideon goes out there and he gets him a kid, gets him a little goat. And he kills that thing and he dresses it. And he makes some unleavened bread. And he gets the broth. And he brings it out there to that angel. And the angel tells him, put it on the rock. So he puts that kid on a rock, that little goat, and he puts that unleavened bread, and he's already poured out the broth, and that angel reaches down and takes that staff and touches that rock and whoosh, sacrificed it unto the God in heaven. And it's gone. And then the angel disappears. And then the Bible said, and Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, and Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. He knew who he was then, didn't he? All right. God's told Gideon to go. God said, surely I've sent you. Surely I'll go with you. And he hung around until Gideon got done with what he needed to do just to prove who he was. So in the middle verses that I didn't read, God had told Gideon to go down there and throw down the altar of Baal. And you know what he done? And he went down there. But the Bible said then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. God came out there and said, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. He said, I want you to go deliver the Midianites, or the Israel out of the Midianites' hand. Y'all catching on right here? You stand with me? I say, with me, don't go sleep on me now. I'm going to help you, hopefully. Listen, here he is. The angel comes by, proves who he is, and God gives Gideon a little old test, if you'll let me say it that way. He gives him a warm-up test. And he said, go down there and tear down the altar of Baal and the grove and all that. And the Bible said right here that Gideon went and done it, but he feared so much that he wouldn't go down there in the daytime. He went and done it in the nighttime. God said, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon's scared to death. Well, I'm telling you, sometimes following God's will is a scary thing. Because we don't know the outcome. All we know is the start. But we don't know the outcome. That's what scares me more than anything, is the outcome. Listen, even the journey in between. Listen, I know that, and there's going to be hard things and through it all. But I want to know that it's all going to turn out right. And so here Gideon is. God gave him instruction. And Gideon's struggling with instruction. I want to tell you a little story. Me and my wife, she had found a vehicle she wanted to look at yesterday. And so I drive all the way up to a little place called Powell, Tennessee. If you know where Powell's at, that's on Clinton Highway.
Amen.
I was up there right on the interstate, up there on I-75, and we went up there, but I wasn't feeling like buying the car, and she wasn't either. I didn't even have to talk her out of it, Jeremiah. She didn't feel it either. And by the way, we pray about this stuff, you know. And so we get up there, and I said, well, let's just go on up to Clinton, and we'll go up to Clinton and turn left and come back into Oak Ridge and come home, and maybe we'll get some supper on the way home and all that. And so while we were going up through there, we stopped at some thrift stores and bought a few things along the way and getting downtown and come right past the Chevrolet place. I'm going somewhere, okay? Because you're going to understand this here in a minute. And I said, well, let's see what they got. So we looked online to see if there's anything that she wanted. And sure enough, so we go over there and we talked about it. And I got headed back toward Oak Ridge. And boy, I'm telling you, just as plain as the day. Whether you believe me or not, don't matter. I know what happened in my heart.
God said, don't you leave Clinton without going and looking at that car. I said, you won't go look at that thing? She said, now don't you turn around on my account. I said, trust me, I ain't. And so I got whooped in at McDonald's there and turned around and go back and look at this thing. And it's you really couldn't have gotten no more perfect than what we wanted. And boy, I was a praying and trying to seek God and of what to do. And listen, them boys was trying. I don't see how any of they's trying to give us that car. I'm going to be honest with you. You can ask my wife. I honestly believe it's been over backwards, wasn't it? I really do. And listen, we had to put some money down, and we had part of it, and I wasn't sure where the other part was going to come from, and that's what was worrying me and concerned me. And in my heart, I felt like God was saying, buy that car, buy that car. And I was struggling with buying that car. I didn't have all the money to put down. And they wasn't coming off of it for loving her money, neither was it. And I finally, after me and her talked about it, I said, just let me go outside. And I went outside and I prayed and I sought God and I come back in. And I even told her then where we could get the money. I forgot that we'd rat hole some money. Y'all know what rat holing money means, don't you? You hit it for hard times. That's what that means. You know, I like having money for hard times. Amen. My wife asked me the other day, we're not going to spend some of that money. I said, what for? It ain't got hard times yet. And then it dawned on me. Now listen, it ain't a lot of money, but it's enough to get done what we needed to get done. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I still wouldn't pull the trigger on that thing. And I told that old boy, I said, well, this deal still be good come Monday. He said, I'll go see. And you know, he come back, and he said, now, we don't know if we can keep that deal till Monday. And you know, when he said that, it's just like God turned the light off. He said, you can go on home now. He said, we'll see come Monday whether you'll buy it or not. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have to wait till tomorrow to see if I messed up or not. See, with all my heart, I believe I should have bought that thing yesterday. With all my heart, I believe I should have bought it. But I was too afraid to pull the trigger. You said, God don't do... Hey, he may not do you that way, but he does me that way. Hey, that old boy sitting across from me. You know what made me feel so bad while I was sitting there? He said, and he knew that I pastored a church, and while we was just making small talk, and I was in the middle of trying to pray and all that, he said, what are you going to preach in the morning? Oh! I said, I'm going to preach on trust and having faith in God. Oh, you're talking about a dagger in your heart, man. And I still wouldn't pull the trigger. Do what needed to be done. I hope that don't cost me. I want you to look. Hey, listen, when you feel God dealing in your heart, that's the time to deal with some things.
Amen.
God's stirring. He's stirring in your heart. You may not always have later. I'll deal with that tonight. Lord been our helper. I'll deal with that in a message if God led us in some things what we could have had. So Gideon, he goes and tears down that altar of Baal. And they were going to come and kill Gideon, and Gideon's daddy told him, said, well, if Baal's a god, then let him plead for himself. If Baal's a god, you let him do his own fighting. And that satisfied him. But then number two, I want you to look at the invitation of Gideon. In verse 34, the Bible said, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him, and Manasseh. And if you look, not only was Manasseh gathered after him, but then Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali, and they all come to Gideon. So it seems like that Gideon was getting ready to go fight, wasn't he? I mean, he sent out his invitation. He's blowed the trumpet. And by the way, if you read your Bible, the Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord was up on Gideon. But I'm telling you, when the Spirit of God gets on you, you can do something then. Amen. Hey, I've been under the anointing too many times and had to understand that thing. And there's been some times that I've not been. And I understand that too. Amen.
Hey, when you get under the touch and now the Holy Spirit of God, hey, you can have power and act to witness. You can have power to preach. You can have power to see. Hey, to where He gets the glory out of it. Amen.
Amen.
And that's all I'm concerned with, is Him getting the glory.
Amen.
And here Gideon is. You know, that's where our power comes from, is in the Holy Spirit. Paul said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." He said, look, my preaching ain't with special words. My preaching ain't with enticing words, but it's in demonstration of Spirit and of power. Hey, if we're ever going to get anything done, it's going to be after through the power and that of the Holy Spirit, and obedience and that in the Word of God, and obedience and that to the Holy Spirit. Hey, listen, and preaching what God would have us do. Well, the Bible said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. That's why I encourage you preachers to always come across the cross somewhere. It is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ that'll save every sinner. Every man, woman, boy, or girl in here today can get saved because of Jesus Christ, the Savior that died yonder at Calvary. But He sends for Israel. The Spirit of God was upon Him, and He sends for Israel. He blows His trumpet, and guess how many comes running? In Judges chapter 7 and verse 3, you can do the math. You'll find out that He's got 32,000 men. All right, here Gideon stands, and he's got 32,000 men standing behind him to go take on the Midianites, I believe it's the Amalekites, and the children of the east. Is that right? Did I get all that right? We'll have to look at that right there and find how many was coming. And we find that I mean, it was just a bunch of people. The Bible said that they had camels. And I mean, all their animals was more than grasshoppers out across the valley of Jezreel out through there. And Gideon's got 32,000 men. Now keep that in mind, okay? Keep that in mind. With 32,000 men, Gideon goes over here. He's got them all gathered together. And he said, "Lord, now if this is really what You want me to do, we've been here before. We've been here before. Lord, if this is really what You want me to do, then I'm going to put the fleece out and let it be wet and the ground all around it be dry." So Gideon goes to bed. He gets up the next morning, picks the fleece up, and wrings it out in a bowl of water. All the dew that was in it, and not a lick of dew on the ground. So Gideon said, "Lord, don't get mad at me. Please, don't get mad at me. But just one more time, just to make sure. Well, I'm going to put the fleece out, and You make the fleece dry and the ground wet." You know what the Lord done? He made the fleece dry and the ground wet. He didn't chide with Gideon. He didn't rebuke Gideon. He just done what Gideon asked him to prove himself. About this time, I would have been feeling bad about things. Can I ask you something? Have you ever been where Gideon is at? Now, something came to my mind while Brother Jeff was teaching Sunday school, and I pinned this down real fast. In all this doubting and wondering, nowhere do we find where Gideon said he wanted to quit. A lot of times we get to doubting and wondering about things and we just ready to give up. Just ready to give up. Gideon, now listen, I say all this so that you'll realize what's going on. Gideon's got 32,000 men behind him and he's still doubting what God wants him to do. Boy, imagine how Gideon felt after God answered him twice down here, and then God comes by and says, "Gideon, you got too many men." "What are you doing to me, Lord? You got too many men, Gideon." "What do you mean I got too many men? I ain't got enough." And God said, "Gideon,
I don't want you to go down there in your number, because Israel's going to vaunt up their self. If they go down there and win, they're going to think they done it. So he's got Gideon in a place where Gideon is really ready to go. Gideon wants to go, and now God says, Gideon, we're going to have to go in humility now. So God said, Gideon, you tell them if they're afraid just to go back home. Now that was the law, by the way. But if you go back and read the law, you'll find out that if a man was afraid, he didn't need to go out into battle, lest he made his brethren afraid too. And so out of one command, Gideon loses 22,000 men. I bet Gideon's looking over this thing and going, man, what have I got into? What have I got myself into? And God said, Gideon, 10,000 men is still too many. Now, God, I've asked you way back over here if this is what you wanted me to do, and you said that's what you wanted me to do. You said you was going to send me. You called me a mighty man of valor. You said you wanted me to do all this. I've laid out the fleece twice, and you've answered me every time, but now we're down to 10,000 men, and you're telling me you want me to get rid of more. I don't know if that's a conversation Gideon had with God or not, but I guarantee you I'd have been having it. I know old Mark. God said, you put them down there and get them down there by the creek, and you see how they drink. And every man that bows down and drinks would just laps it up with his tongue. You send him home. But if a man drips it up out of his hand and sups it up like this, you go ahead and have him. So 9,700 men later, Gideon's got 300 men. God said, Gideon, now this is the Lord for you right here. Before Gideon could even ask anything, and before Gideon could say, Lord, is this really what you want me to do? Is this the direction you want me to do? You know what God said? I want you to look in verse 9 of chapter 7. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down. Now listen. Listen, after God's got him down to 300 men, he didn't even let Gideon come to him and ask him anything. God just spoke to Gideon. He said, arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. He said, Gideon, I'll give it to you. I want you to understand that. He said, but if thou fear to go down, go with fear of thy servant down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shalt thine hands be strengthened to go down to the host. Now what's what the Bible said? Then went he down with fear at his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. Gideon was afraid to go down to fight. God said, Gideon, if you're still afraid, then you just go down there this evening, and you slip in and you hear what they have to say one to another. He said, if you're afraid to go, you go down there tonight and you listen to what they've got to say. So where do we find Gideon at? Him and his servant is going down there to listen. Gideon was afraid. It's a fearful thing to do the work of God sometimes. Step out on faith. You ever stepped out on faith? Oh, I'm talking about, it's scary. Listen, if you ever listen to Brother Roloff, you'll find out that was his motto. Out of the book of Hebrews over there, the book of Romans and the book of Habakkuk, where it said that the just shall live by faith. Scary thing. Amen. Step out on faith. So here we go. Gideon gets fear and they go down there. And they slip up on the army of the Midianites. And all of them that's down there, and Amalekites. And the Bible said in verse 12, look with me. And the Midianites and Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for the multitude. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for the multitude. You reckon his heart was sinking as he's headed down that way? He's got 300 men. And God is still telling me that I can take them. Man, who is this God in heaven? And then Gideon was come. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came into a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it, and the tent lay along.
And his fellow answered and said, "This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into the hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host." I bet he couldn't contain himself. How do you know he couldn't contain himself? "And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped." Now the Bible said he heard that and worshipped. Now notice what your next thing says. "And returned to the host of Israel." Makes me think that he worshipped right where he was. Man, when he heard what God had to say, and that through the Midianites out there, said, "Man, there's a bird of cake rolled in here, got in a tent, and just tore it all to pieces." And the boy next to him said, "Well, that's nobody but Gideon, the son of Joash up there. He's an Israelite. He's fixing to come down here and whoop all of us."
That's right. That's right.
And Gideon fell on his face, and he worshiped God. You know, there's a difference between worship and praise. Mm-hmm. Worship is when you're down and lowly, and in a spot of humility. Right. Praise comes from our mouth and our hands. Comes from our body. Worship comes from your heart. Here Gideon is. And he's worshiping God. Boy, I tell you, when you can just finally get through to God. I tell you, some of you all ain't been able to worship because you ain't been where God wants you to be.
Amen.
You've been coming to church, but you ain't where God wants you at. And so he returned in the host of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian." He hadn't said that out of all the times that God had proved himself, out of all the times that God said, "Gideon, go," not one time had Gideon said, "God has delivered them into our hand." Not one time. And finally, when Gideon trusted God, he said, "God has delivered them into our hand." Until you just get to the place to where you just believe God and find the encouragement of the Lord in your heart. By the way, that was point number three, the encouragement of the Lord. He just simply encouraged him and sent him on his way. See what God done? God allowed Gideon to divide that 300-man army up into three different groups, surrounded them down there. Gideon said, "You wait." He gave them a lamp, put a pitcher over it, and give them a trumpet. And he said, "When I holler and we shout," he said, you break that pitcher on the outside, let the light shine, and blow the trumpet, and say, "The sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon." And boy, I'm telling you, when they done that, they broke them pitchers, shouted, blow the trumpet, and they overtook the enemy, just like God said. Put them on the run. They chased him so much that his 300 men got faint. But the Bible said, but yet they were still pursuing. And he was a whooping the far out of them all the way. Why? That's what God wanted. And Gideon finally got to the place where he had trusted God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Let's bow our heads this morning. Would y'all come sing that song this morning, "Trust in the Lord"? Can you do that? You'd be okay to do that this morning. Listen. What's God trying to get you to do? What's God wanting you to do? What's he wanting you to trust in him to do? And you just ain't trusting him. You ain't putting your faith in him. You ain't leaning. You're leaning to your own understanding instead of leaning to God. Now listen, don't let the time of this message discourage you from coming and getting some help. Hey, listen this morning. God wants to help you. Oh, does he want to help you so much this morning. Maybe you've not trusted him for salvation. This morning be a good morning. Won't y'all go ahead and start singing if you would. Won't you just come this morning. Come on.